Isaiah chapter 6, if you will. Isaiah chapter 6. Now, I don't know where your mind is today. Mine's been a little bit everywhere. All of it was in here. But I want you to get your mind on the Lord. And that last song was a good way to do it. Get your mind on the Lord. Listen. Holy. Holy. And I want to talk. I preached on this before, but the Lord's impressed it. I had two sermons this morning, and I thought, well, which would be good for Sunday morning, which would be good for Sunday night? And I thought, well, this one, everybody needs this one. This one will be good for Christians. It'll encourage them and maybe convict them. But this one that I'm about to preach now is an unheard of subject, and very few people talk about it or preach it or teach it anymore. And it's, hey, it is one of the most important subjects in the Word of God. And so look in the Word of God, Isaiah chapter 6, look at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. That's what the king wears, that long robe, that train. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the face of him that cried. Of the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Revelation 4:8, real quick. In chapter 4, verse 8. And the four beasts, now these are angelic creatures, just like in Isaiah. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Father, bless the reading of your word today. Let us see, experience, understand, and share in the holiness of a holy God today. Save some sinner. Reclaim some backslider. Bless you saints. Let us go out of here holy people, representing a holy God with a holy message. And we'll turn this world upside down. There won't be shootings. There won't be killings. There won't be riots. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I looked up the definition of holy. I grew up in Lancaster. I'm not always that smart. So I looked up the definition of holy. Exalted or worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. That's what that means. I'm going to read it again. Exalted or worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. Another meaning was having a divine quality. That means you and I can be holy. We can have a divine quality. The Old Testament Hebrew word was kodesh. It means apartness, sacredness. In the New Testament, same thing. It means it applies to God alone, because only He can be truly, completely, without fail, holy, complete, separate, sinless, pure, without fail. Only God. And He's not just holy, but in heaven, He's called holy, holy, holy. And in the Trinity, that means completeness. Holy, holy. He's complete holy. Now, you and I can be holy by sharing, and He imparts holiness unto us, but He is complete holy. No one had to give Him holiness. Nobody had to call Him holy. He was holy before. Amen? And we should be holy. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to try to get you out of here time to eat you some chicken today. 1 Peter chapter 1. I know Bud and Linda will go by KFC. It's a ritual. They wouldn't even go to heaven if they didn't get to go eat KFC on Sunday. That's part of church to them. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at it with me. Look at verse 15, 16, and 19. Verse 15 says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Look at verse 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot, without blemish and without spot." That's how you get holy, by the blood of Jesus Christ. He covers you in His holiness by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're complete. You're set apart. As far as God's concerned, when He looks at you, He sees the blood of Jesus Christ, and He sees holy. He sees perfection, Brother Billy. He don't see what we see. He sees the blood of the Lamb of God, and when He sees that, that's pure and perfect and holy. So when He looks at us as children of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, He's not just talking about good works. He's talking about a position in heaven. And He says that He has a place reserved for us in the heavens. Why? Because nobody can be holy without His holiness. Nobody can go to heaven without holiness. Because if anything went into heaven that was unholy, it would blemish heaven and make heaven unholy. And unholiness can't go in the presence of God. So He has to make us holy in order for us to enter into heaven. See these people running around here living unholy, ungodly lives and talking ungodly words and unholy words, and they think they're going to heaven. Well, that's not going to happen. You must be born again. Holiness. Now, in today's world, even our church folks have little knowledge of what that word holy means. It's not talked about. It's overlooked. They know little about the holiness of God. They think of God as some big grandpa sitting up there that will overlook things and He'll let things slide and let things pass. But no, He's holy. He can't do that. He's separate from sin. He's apart from sinfulness. Therefore, He can't allow sin. Sin's got to be paid for. And He made a way before the foundation of the world was ever laid that a holy one could die for unholy people and give us His holiness. See? And I want to help you today to understand that a little bit. I want you to see, but I don't just want you to see. I want you to fear the holiness of God. Amen. Isaiah said, on the day that the king died, I had a vision and I looked up and I saw God high and lifted up on His throne. And His train, His robe, the back end of that robe, like the train of a bridesmaid gown. That train filled the temple. That means His presence was all there. And He said there was a smoke that came down. That was the smoke of the tabernacle and the temple. And God came down in the presence of a dark cloud, because you can't look on God and live. A human being can't look on God and live. And so He said the presence of God came down so much in that temple. And then the seraphim, those angelic creatures with six wings, and two they cover their face because they can't look at God. He's too holy. And two they cover their feet because they're dirty. They've been walking. And then with the other two, they fly through heaven, and all they sing is, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And they, according to Revelation chapter 4, they do that 24 hours a day. That's all they do is cry, "Holy, holy, holy." All day, every day, all day long, 24 hours, they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy." So there must be something to it. A lot of people think you go to heaven. Well, I'll get up to heaven, I'll have me a little cloud, and I'll have me a little harp, and I'll have me a little halo. You've been watching too much television. Amen. When you get up to heaven, it ain't going to be about you. It's going to be about a holy God. Everything in heaven's going to be about a holy God. Everything. And people think, well, we're going to get up there, we're going to have a party. No, there's going to be a supper of the Lamb to where He presents His bride, us, as holy, because He made us holy, to that holy God. It's all about Him. It's not about us. Heaven's not about you. And He didn't go to prepare a place for you so you go up there and sit on the side of a river and go fishing. No, sir. We'll be worshiping God and singing, holy, holy, holy. And listen, these words aren't used like this anymore, but God's a dreadful God. God, there should be dread in facing a holy God if you're unholy. There should be fear in that. And boy, we watered down the scripture so much and we got so many different bad translations, all this stuff. That's why you ought to keep with that old 400-year-old King James Bible. It hadn't changed. And boy, they've just watered it down. They've melted it down to where now everybody thinks they're going to heaven. Unholy people think they're going to heaven. People who live like the devil think that they're going to go and live in heaven. I mean, mean, low-down, rotten people. You ask me, you say, you think if you died, you'd go to heaven? Sure I would. I'm a pretty good guy. They don't know what holiness is. Because the church has failed to transfer that knowledge of holiness, purity, separate, apart, without sin. See? And so in today's church, they've watered it down. Most people don't even know about the holiness of God. He is holy in everything He is. He has a Holy Spirit. He works are holy. His heaven is holy. His word is holy. His temple is holy. His son is holy. And His children are holy people. Amen? Amen. He has holy angels. He has holy music. He has holy garments. He has holy plans. He has holy purposes. He has a holy church. He has a Holy Spirit. And He has a holy calling. All of it. Everything about Him is holy. There is no sin, no darkness, no deception in holiness. Everything about Him is pure and righteous and separate from everything that is not pure and righteous and holy. We need to get back to the holiness of God. There used to be a group of people, and people made fun of them because they called them holiness people. Well, listen, I'd rather be a little bit too far to the right and extreme and trying to be holy than I would be to the left and being unholy and not caring about it. You used to make fun of those little ladies running around with a bun on their head, and when they took it down, their hair was that long because the Bible says a woman ought not cut her hair. Now, it didn't say she'd go to hell for that, but it was just telling her that was her covering, that was her glory. See? And people used to make fun of them. And people used to make fun of those men that would wear their button-up shirts to the top. And they'd wear long sleeves and button-up long breeches. Amen? Yeah. People made fun of them. Now you can't find them because the church has persecuted them so bad. I'd rather hang around with that crowd than that crowd over there has got a hippie preacher and a hippie choir and a hippie chorus. Am I making any sense? Holiness. When we get to heaven, God doesn't compromise on holiness. In heaven, you'll find those holy angels and holy music and holy garments and holy things. Everything in heaven is holy. Now, because He is holy, turn to Leviticus 11:45. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. Only He is sinless perfection. But I'm trying to introduce you to a God that is perfect and holy and without any error and without any turning. He says, I'm God and I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He was holy when your grandma got saved, He's holy today. And if He was holy when the holiness movement was worshiping Him, He's still holy today. He changes not. Now, because He is holy, look at it, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. Leviticus 11:45. Now, in verse 45, he said, For I am the Lord that bringeth you out of the land, out of Egypt, to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Now, He's the one that brought you out of sin, death, hell, and the grave. And now look at verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Sanctify means set apart. Set apart for God, just like He set apart. and ye shall be holy. For I am holy, neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Now, he was talking about their dietary rules there, that we don't have those anymore because he gives us refrigerators and stuff like that. But the point being is his holiness is what he's talking about. He is holy. So that makes our salvation should be holy. Our worship should be holy. Our music should be holy. Our prayers should be holy. Our works should be holy. Our witnessing should be holy. Amen? Because he said, ye are holy. Now, Leviticus 11:45, just because it's in the Old Testament, doesn't mean it doesn't pertain to us. Amen? God didn't change just because we named something the New Testament. He's the same. I change not, he says. Now, holiness is what we should practice. Are you listening? Look up here at me. Holiness is what we should practice. Let's go back to what holiness is. Holiness is set apartness. Holiness is purity. Holiness is abstaining from things. Holiness is being different in manners of conversation. That means our lifestyle, the way we talk, the way we walk. And holiness is what we should preach and practice.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, are you listening to me? Now, if you're not saved, you think I'm a nut, see? Because you can't be holy. Because what's in you is not holy. You're totally depraved. You're without God. You're in darkness. You're condemned. You feel that condemnation and you blame it on us. It's not us. It's a holy God that makes you feel condemned. They're trying to pass these new hate laws and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. Nobody's offended by what I'm preaching except for people that don't know him. See, and they're offended, but I'm telling you, we're not. The cross is offensive because a holy God poured out his holy wrath on a holy man for unholy people. He died in our place to pay our sin debt. And so we need to stop making excuses. Well, preacher, well, pastor, you know, we're just sinners saved by grace. Yeah, but that's supposed to make us holy. It's supposed to make us different. I'm not talking about perfection. Every one of you is going to fall and get up and fall and get up and fall and get up. But the difference is now your desires have changed and you want to be holy. You want to be different. And when we do sin, we look up to heaven and say, God, forgive me. That ain't me. That's the old me. I don't want to be like this. And some of us struggle with it. We struggle with things every day. All of us do. But we shouldn't desire to be like that. And we shouldn't be defensive when a holy God points out our unholiness. And we shouldn't be offended when the preacher gets up there and preaches right down your alley. Amen. A lot of times we have to say, oh me. It's either amen, I agree, or oh me, I'm in trouble. But now we got a bunch of nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, ear-tickling, back-scratching, panty-waist preachers that's afraid to talk about it, see. They ain't a perfect preacher in the pulpit. Ask that woman right there. She lives with me. Don't tell her. There's some people who stand up and confess all your sins. Don't do that. Don't do that. But the point being, listen, we'll stop making excuses. Well, you know, I just can't help myself. My daddy was like this, and my grandpa was like this. Well, it's time somebody stopped it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I got a bad temper because my daddy had one. Get over it. Build you a bridge and go right over that thing. That bridge is the cross. You can get right over that. Well, I got this problem with cussing because, you know, I grew up in a cussing family. Well, when God saved you, he gave you a new tongue. Get over it. You don't have to be like that. Well, I've just been hurt so much, and I got all these bad feelings, so I can't help but hate people. You're either not saved or you're unholy in that part, and you need to get it holy. You can help it by the grace of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have to be like that. You don't know where I come from. If you did, you'd be praising God right now. Amen. Listen, I don't know where you come to. A fellow told me yesterday, said, now, and he had a big old earring on you. It was covered with tattoos and stuff, and he needed a haircut real bad. He said, now, if I come to church, is the roof going to fall in? I said, don't think too highly of your sin. There'd been a lot of sinners worse than you have been in my church. Amen. I was like, my church is full of sinners. Don't you think that just because you come in there, the roof's going to fall in? You're building yourself up too much. There's something worse than you been in there. Amen. Some of them still in here. But they become holy people. Holy people. You don't have to be that way. You know, that would solve, if just the people that profess Christ would practice more holiness, that would solve most of our nation's problems. You know what? Being holy is a sign of a child of God. It's not a profession of faith, but it's a possession of a holy faith that makes you a child of God. A lot of people think just because they walked down the aisle one day and filled out a membership card and the people voted them in, they're going to heaven. But that's a profession. Now, if you got saved that day, that's wonderful. If you got born again that day, that's fine. But if you didn't, you just have a profession of holiness. You don't have a possession of holiness, so you won't go to heaven. You can join every church in town, still die and go to hell. You can get baptized till you wrinkle much as a prune and still die and go to a devil's hell. Well, Bully Fogberry said, you can get baptized in Catawba River till you know every minner by his first name and still die and go to hell. You must be holy, for I am holy, he said. Now, holiness produces faith. Real faith in Jesus Christ produces holiness through the possession of the Holy Ghost. See, that day that I asked Jesus to save me, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. That day, the Holy Ghost of God moved into me. And I became a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I was born again, John 3:3. And the Holy Ghost did that. I didn't make a decision. Billy, I didn't decide anything. I knew there wasn't no hope for me. I didn't make a decision, I'm going to go up here and be a better person. I gave in to the Holy Spirit who was drawing me by His Spirit. A Holy Spirit drawing an unholy man to a holy place. And that day, I accepted Christ as my Savior and the Holy Spirit moved in. Now when He moved in, He regenerated me. He gave me a new heart and a new spirit and a new mind. And a new destiny. And a new life. Everything became new, he said. Why? Because a holy God moved into an unholy man. And he was regenerated. You know what that means? That means taking something dead and making it alive again. Holiness. Holiness is what heaven's all about. If you don't like holiness, if you like sin, if you love living in a sinful world with all the heartache and heartbreak and all the things that it brings with it, if you like that lifestyle, you would not like heaven. Because it's all about holiness, separateness from this world and the things of this world. And Jesus said you can't love this world and love Him at the same time. Because He's holy and the world's unholy. And His kingdom is holy. And the devil's kingdom is the world. 99% of the people rioting, I'm not talking about peaceful protests, I wouldn't even do that, but there are some that do that. But 99% of those people burning stuff and beating people up and busting windows and looting all that, those people were just having a party. That's up in Charlotte. They just having a party. I was a teenager. I remember riot-type times and teenagers running. We just, like at school, somebody getting a fight, you have 300 kids out there. They fight, fight, fight. They're just having a party, that's all. They love it. They love the adrenaline of that and the destruction and the hurting people. They love that. So those people won't be comfortable in heaven, Brother Rick. There's none of that. It's peace and love and joy and long-suffering and goodness and meekness and faith is what heaven's all about. Now, I'm going to read you that definition again, and then I'm going to show you something else, and I'll quit. The definition of holy is exalted or worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness, or having a divine quality. In the New Testament, means the same thing, but it applies to God alone, because only He can be truly, completely, without fail, holy. So, in order to have holiness, you must have Him, because He is holiness. He is holy. What you do is not holiness. Holiness is what produces what you do. See, you don't produce holiness. Holiness produces your works. Your works don't produce holiness. Because then it would be works. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. Got a telephone call. Me and my wife was out. And Friday night, Saturday night. I got a telephone call. I didn't recognize the number. And I'll be honest with you, I usually don't answer calls that I don't recognize the number, because these telemarketers, they can put South Carolina, Georgia, or anything on there now. So I usually don't. It just said Rock Hill, and usually I don't do that unless I know the number, know the person. But then I thought, well, man, that looks familiar. So I answered it, and no, I had him leave a voicemail, and then I listened to the voicemail, and he said, Reverend Ron Roddy, and he said, this is Jeff. Had a wonderful voice. And if you want to know Jeff who, call me back. Well, I thought I recognized the voice, so I called him back. I said, I'm sorry, I don't know Jeff who. I'm good with faces, I'm terrible with voices. Who are you? He started laughing. You don't remember me? And I said, no, I don't remember you. He said, Jeff Hickman. Now, y'all don't know who that is, but that's the story I tell of this guy that I worked with, Piedmont Distribution, that I had to take a steel bar to one day and threaten to hit him between the eyes because he kept using God's name in vain and wouldn't quit. I did. Big. He was on steroids. He was a weightlifter. One time he went to the break room. He got mad at the boss. Man, this is what steroids will do to you. He took the door and opened it and slammed it on his head till he broke that hinge right there off the door, and the door fell off. Big muscle bound. Steroids make you crazy. And no one else would work with him, so the boss man would always put him with me. And I said, why do you put that nut with me? He said, because you're a Christian, you have to work with him. And I did. And we worked pretty good after I took that steel bar and put it up in front of him, told him if he used my father's name in vain again, I was going to hit him right square between the eyes. And he apologized. And later on, about a year later in the break room, there was a bunch of boys making fun of him. And he walked in and said, shut up! This is a Christian. Leave him alone. Yeah. And a little while later, he invited me to his house to show him and his wife how to believe on Christ and be saved. Now, he called me. Do you know how many years ago it was since I talked to him or saw him? That was at least 15 years ago, wasn't it? Maybe longer than that. Maybe 20 years ago. You know what he told me? He gave me the greatest compliment anybody's ever given me. He said, me and my wife still talk about you. He did. He said, I always told people, he said, that man's real. Now, you know, I wanted to hit him with that bar. I wanted to dent his head. I really did. And a lot of times, he would work with me because nobody else would work with him. And he'd get mad and do stuff. And I really wanted to tell him off. I really did. The flesh did. But the spirit would say, no, but this boy needs help. It's the holiness of God he saw. He didn't see me. He saw the holiness of God. He heard. I quoted him scripture. Y'all listening, young people? his life was affected by what God was doing through me.
Amen.
Now your life touches somebody.
Amen.
Everywhere you go, your life's touching. And God puts you there for a purpose. Are you listening? There ain't no accidents with God. A holy God puts His holiness in us as believers that others might see Christ in us. That's the holiness of God. Christ is the sinless one, that they might want what you have. Let me tell you something. Just as I think it's dumb as a box of rocks for a parent to try to be a child's friend, you're not their friend, you're their parent. God didn't give you a child to be their friend. And sometimes parents are mean, and sometimes parents have to do what they have to do, and the kids don't like them, and they say, I can't wait till I turn 18 to get out of here. One day that same child will be a parent, and they'll say, I thank God I had a real daddy. They wouldn't let me do anything I wanted to. I thank God I had a real mama that loved me and made me go to church.
Yeah.
They'll turn around. Your kids don't need a friend. They need a parent. These people marching in the streets tearing up stuff, they didn't have parents. That's their problem. If one of my kids been up there, I'd have went and got them.
Amen.
Amen. And the people you work with and go to school with, are you listening to me? They don't need your friendship. They need your holiness. They need to see God in somebody. They've seen enough hypocrites. They've seen enough compromisers. They need to see Jesus Christ, and the only Bible they're ever going to read is us.
Amen.
Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I'm going to run them off. Where are you going to run to? They're already going to hell. There ain't a hell number two. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings because, you know, Jesus was meek and mild. He's the same one that planted a whip one day and went to church and cleared a house. He's the same one that pointed to people and said, you hypocrites, you vipers. They need to see a purity this world does not show because it doesn't have it. They need to see a changed life. And you know what a changed life is? Holy. I'm not talking about perfection, Ron. We're not going to get complete perfection until we get there. This old body's got to be saved. We all struggle with this thing every day. And the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, that which I would do, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do. But he's talking about battling this old sinful flesh. We've all got to do that. And he said, I bring my body under subjection. We all have to do that. And we struggle with that every day. All of us do. In mind or matter, some way, we're struggling with it. But in here, the holiness of God is shining. And we'll let it shine out sometimes. And when we do fail, we'll look at people and say, I'm sorry, that ain't me. That's the old me. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be like. It used to be that way. Some of you ladies, some of you men, y'all got spouses, you got children that you're just petting because you're scared you're going to hurt their feelings. Don't be afraid of that. They need a holy spouse. They need a holy parent. They've got friends. Friends will let them go to hell. A holy person with holy compassion will not let you go to hell without a fight. Sometimes you'll look at that loved one and tell them, I told one of my kids one day, I said, I ain't letting my kids go to hell. I've told the devil. I've given him notice. I ain't letting my kids go to hell. I'll fight. I'll fuss. I'll scream. I'll holler. I'll do whatever I got to do. But my children's not going to hell. God does the same thing. He says, cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up thy voice. Show my people their sin. Well, I'm glad I got a holy God and a holy Savior and a holy book and a holy salvation and a holy heaven. I don't want it to be like it used to be. Listen, and I know this ain't heaven, but boy, sometimes it sure can feel like it when you get in touch with a holy God. Boy, I wish I was the preacher of some preachers I've known, some of my heroes over the years. I wish I could preach like them. I've been in services where the holiness of God, the Spirit of God Himself come down into a service and people start crying out loud and people start getting saved and running to the altar, and the others get a burden for their loved ones. They run to the altar and pray for their loved ones. I've seen some of them get out of the pew and go to somebody and say, "Hey, don't go to hell. Please come down here and get saved." Because the Holy God came into a holy message brought by a holy man to a holy congregation. I don't take it lightly. I pray all the time. I prayed this morning. I said, "Lord, I ain't even worth preaching. I'm not worthy to do this job, but this is what you've called me to do. Help me to be a blessing. Help me to be an inspiration. God, don't let them see me. Don't let them hear me, but let them see you and hear you."
Amen.
You see, you need to quit worrying about your reputation and be more concerned about His reputation. You need to quit worrying about their feelings and be more concerned with His feelings.
Glory to God. Yes.
I got grandchildren. Let me tell you something. Grandchildren's a wonderful thing. And I'll do whatever it takes. You hear me? To get them to a holy God. The opposite of holy is unholy. You've got to make holy judgments. Because He gave you a holy discernment. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "For the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit. For they are spiritually discerned." In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, He told the believers, "Judge yourself that you may not be judged." You've got to make holy judgments in your life. And sometimes you've got to make them in other people's lives. There'd be a lot less people dying and going to hell if we would make some holy judgments and do some holy intervention every once in a while.
Yes.
And say, "Listen, you get mad at me if you want to. I sat right up here one day and told you, you're living way below where you ought to be." And God jumped in there and helped you, didn't He? Sometimes you just got to make holy judgments because you have holy discernment and be led by Holy Spirit to do holy work.
Amen.
Church is not some club you joined. Church is a holy place. We dedicated this to God. We want Him to come down in here. That old song we used to sing, "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore our God." And it says, talking about holy women, will you pray the Lord of heaven down? Will you pray Him down? Will you pray His holy presence down? The opposite of holy is unholy. Now I want to ask you this, and I'll quit. Are you born again from unholy to holy? Has there been a change in your life from unholy to holy? Now, I'm not talking about perfection again, but I mean, do you think different? Your thinking affects your behavior or your walk and your talk. And when you do sin, does it grieve you? That's holiness in you that causes that, see? Then how about your loved ones? Is your husband holy? Is your wife holy? Are your children holy? Are your grandchildren holy? How about your friends? Are they holy? You say, "Well, I don't know, preacher." Well, you ought to know. You're holy. You ought to be able to tell the difference. And if they're not, there ought to be something in you that makes you want them to have what you have. How could you go to heaven without a husband or a wife that you love? You claim you love them. How could you go to heaven without your children that you love? You claim you love them. Are your grandchildren? Are those people you call friends? Never warn them, never share holiness of God with them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Never witness to them. And last but not least, there will be a holy judgment day. There will be a holy judgment day. And He's going to judge us, listen, He's going to just judge us by our holy faith in a holy Savior that produced a holy life, that did holy works. in order to let us into a holy heaven. Or you'll go to an unholy hell. Young people, I don't care what they tell you, there's no party in hell. That's been canceled. No party in hell. Hell is a place of unholiness. Unholiness produces hate, anger, envy, wrath, deception, darkness. You listening? Hell's a terrible place. There ain't nothing good about hell. And it's not holy. There's nothing holy about it. It's not separate from the world or things of the world. All those things will be there. So I ask you today, have you been born again from unholy to holy? Again, I'm talking about believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the holy Lord, shall be saved. He laid His holiness down to take on your sinfulness. You hear me? He laid His holiness down to take on your sinfulness. The Bible says that God laid on Him the iniquity of us all so that we could share in His holiness. You say, preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to get you to realize the awesome, the grander, the greatness of a holy God. Yes, yes. And how we're so far below that, that like you sang, we've got to be lifted up to where He is. If you haven't, you're not going to heaven. And just because they're your children, don't make them heaven bound. And just because that's your husband, don't make him heaven bound. Just because that's your wife, doesn't make her heaven bound. They must be born again too. And how are they going to do it if they don't see a holy example? Amen. And hear some holy words, faith come by you. Let's stand. Father.